I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Iraqi government troops, along with a number of military partners, including the U.S., are trying to force ISIS out of Mosul, Iraq's second largest city. The plan was announced a while back, and in a couple of minutes, we'll discuss whether it might have been better to keep that plan more of a secret. First, though, let's talk with James Verini. He's with National Geographic, and his most recent story is called Surviving the Fall of ISIS. Verini has been speaking with those who have fled ISIS-controlled territory. He began by describing for me an evening he spent on a mountainside earlier this month. Using flashlights, Iraqi soldiers on the mountain were trying to signal to a family of seven who were fleeing Mosul.
This particular family was relatively fast. They only took a couple of hours. And they can't carry lights themselves, of course. You know, they have to turn the lights on their cell phones off. They're constantly worried about ISIS coming up the mountainside to follow them.
Yeah, explain how the soldiers who are on the mountain actually kind of guide with their lights and what the risks of that are.
The night we were there, there was an interpreter who spoke both Kurdish and Arabic on the phone with the father, and he was with his wife and five children, ages, I think, roughly 8 to an infant. At the same time, there was a soldier who was intermittently putting on a flashlight so that the father had something to walk to, but they couldn't keep the flashlight on for very long at any given time because it would be a giveaway that someone was trying to come up the mountain.
Wow. Wow, so risky. So you recount how this family, they finally make it to the soldiers. The wife says, "It's all right if we die here hungry, we're safe. This is the best moment of my life." What does her husband, Ayham Ali, have to say about life in Mosul under ISIS?
As you've probably read and heard, it's pretty grim. Aside from all of the restrictions on dress and behavior and smoking, aside from all of that, there's the fact that Mosul has been essentially cut off from commerce and interchange with the rest of Iraq for the better part of 2 years now. So the economy is completely shot, of course. There's no work. There's no money. The markets have gone empty. There's very little to eat.
James, propaganda is a huge part of ISIS control, and in some of these ISIS-controlled areas, there are big TV screens, jumbotrons, posted in major intersections and plazas. What is broadcast on those screens?
I spoke to people from Fallujah and Mosul who described these screens that were erected at public squares and in intersections. And in the instances of both cities, they said that what was being projected on the screens were public executions. Cameras were set up at the execution grounds. In the case of Mosul, it was at a cemetery, and that beheadings were broadcast live, and people were forced to watch, locals, including children.
And were there crowds, small or large, watching at those squares?
To be honest, I don't know.
I'd like you to tell us about two ISIS survivors you met after the battle for Kayara. One's name is Muhammad, the other is Abdullah, and they're old friends, but they meet again, as they're escaping the city. What did they tell you about life under ISIS?
Of course, they recounted all of the things that you hear from residents living under ISIS in other parts of Iraq. But what made their account particularly interesting and telling was they described the boredom, the tedium of living under ISIS. Other than prayer and the occasional bout of violence, there was very little to do. These guys, Abdullah and Muhammad, knew each other from playing soccer. They weren't allowed to do that. They're both pretty avid smokers, like many Iraqi men are. They weren't allowed to do that. They weren't allowed to speak with girls. They weren't allowed to speak on the phone. People weren't allowed to have phones, or at least not functioning phones. They didn't have any work, and they had nowhere to go. So it's endlessly frightening and endlessly tedious. The signal feature of life under ISIS after constant fear is constant boredom.
James Verini with National Geographic, thanks very much.
Thank you, Marco.